The views, opinions, and content of the show hosts and their guests appearing on America's Web Radio are their own and do not necessarily reflect those of the station.
You're listening to America's Web Radio on the AmericasBroadcastNetwork.com. Thank you for listening.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls of all ages. I am Roger B. This is Locked and Loaded, and you're listening to America's Web Radio. And today we have a special treat. I've got a returning guest, Armando Ortega from Zero Energy Developments, who we talked about last time with prepping and whatnot. And he has brought with him another guest, Patrick Sargent, who does the solar panel installations, system designs, and I guess recommendations for lowering your power bill to the point of possibly being off the grid, but mostly just giving you a huge percentage off what you normally pay for power. Right? Gentlemen, want to say hello, please?
Oh, nice to meet you guys. It's good to be back. Roger, thank you so much. It's a privilege to come back. I did want to bring somebody that has taken care of our technology for the solar in our product, Net Zero. And so we want to welcome him as well. Patrick.
Appreciate it. Thank you, gentlemen. My name is Patrick Sargent. It's nice to be here today.
And your company name is?
Company name is Corona Solar.
Okay. Well, if you have websites and stuff, we want to give any of that later on. We'll get into some of that. But you're the guy who does the designing and providing installation of these panels on people's houses, farms, commercial businesses, whatever, right?
Yep. We do everything in-house. I am a design engineer. Been doing design engineering for 30 years, from technical designs for when I started at, I used to be at Bell Labs.
Designed, okay.
Electrical systems there. Now I'm in solar, but have been doing R&D design development for 30 years and now into solar.
Oh, that's great. And solar's becoming way more popular now than it has. I think a lot of people are waking up and realizing this will get me a lot of money off my power bill.
Yes. So how it's really working in the Southeast is solar's always followed where expensive prices have gone. So originally it was California and then went to Hawaii, then to the Northeast where they have fuel oil. And now the Southeast, which in America we have some of the lowest power, which is great because we have a lot of hydropower and things of that nature.
Right, yeah, our power bills are generally lower than nationwide averages.
But now solar's becoming to a point where it's mainstream in the Southeast and much more effective against utility costs because of the price of solar's come down, where, just for example, and house installation, just for the cost of a module in 2008 was like $3.50 per watt.
Wow.
The whole installation, modules, everything included, everything, you're getting into around the $2.
So we've dropped 33% off the price of solar.
Oh, I would say.
Well, if you say it went from $3 to $2
off the price.
Oh, really?
Of solar. Yeah.
So it's come down that much.
And the modules that were done in the 60s, 70s, they're still out there working. So.
Wow. See, now that's something I've always heard, that solar doesn't last very long. You got to replace it every 5 or 7 years. And that's apparently not the case.
No, so each portion of the solar systems has its own warranty, but the solar panels specifically have a 25-year power warranty from the company initially, and those systems after 25 years will still function.
But they'll just be a little lower efficiency.
A little lower, but yeah, they're warranted for 25.
Wow.
Inverters will last.
But that's the most expensive part of the system, I assume, is the panels?
Panels and the inverter. Okay. Specifically, if you take all the panels together, they would be more than the inverter, and the inverter is about a 10-year warranty.
Okay.
Batteries with off-grid systems are the area that is dropping now.
Right. Yeah, the whole lithium-ion batteries are coming down. I mean, now you can buy almost any flashlight with a rechargeable lithium-ion battery in it for like $10. It used to be a lot more expensive than that.
Lithium-ion is definitely coming down, and there is an issue going on with cobalt and phosphorus. There's the original lithium-ion kind of product that had cobalt, but now everybody's switching to potassium, phosphate-based.
So they're getting
more environmentally
friendly,
cheaper, and everything coming.
That's
down.
What, yeah, that makes a big difference for everybody, especially cheaper. Because when I think green, I think the green that's in my wallet. I don't want to spend any more of that than I have.
That's right.
Right.
You know, I don't mind saving the planet, but I don't want to do it at my own expense. Let's do it all myself.
I think that's probably one of the biggest questions that people have is the green perspective, and Solar is excellent for renewables, but it's much better for your wallet. Well, it's 80% off what you would pay for utility.
So getting solar panels can save you 80% on your electric utility bills.
It can save you nearly up to 100 if you want, but on the average size house, a regular 3,000 square foot
right,
house,
that's a reasonable
about 25
size,
yeah. Years is about 175,000. Take about 20% of that, about 32K.
Okay.
And that's what pretty much a solar to utility equivalency
wow.
would be, but so after return on investment of 6 years, then it'd be free after that.
Wow. So if you're planning on staying in your house for more than 6 years, this is definitely an investment. Now, we were talking earlier, off the mic, we were talking about, you said that a lot of houses, when they're resold, mm-hmm. that the solar panels add a huge value to these houses.
Mm-hmm. Solar, when you put solar on your house, you will need to contact your insurance and make sure that that's covered because it's an asset that's on your house.
Oh, right. That's right. That's
when
something
you sell.
Can they be dent? I mean, I guess most of the panels are fairly maintenance-free.
They're maintenance-free, so most panels today have a tempered glass, so things like hail, and it is not
going to hurt it.
It's not
okay.
going to break it, no.
Because now, in the past, did they ever use like plastic to cover some of the solar panels up a long time ago?
Some of the cheaper panels a long time ago could have been made out of like a polycarbonate.
Yeah, because I remember somebody had some, and they said they got clouded over, and they had to mm-hmm. get the plastic replaced or cleaned to make them work right again. That's old, though.
The whole solar system has gone through the myriad of every kind of product, good, bad, or indifferent.
Right.
Today, most good solar installers, we only use what we call Tier 1 modules, and that are modules that are made. Technically, right now, they're all overseas because that's just who makes
them. That's where the efficiency's there.
But they're very good modules in the last 25 years. When you're buying a solar module, you don't buy the module. You buy the company that makes it because of a 25-year module. You want the company to be there in 25
right,
years. So
right.
the warranty's valid. So, but yes, most everything today is got an anti-reflective coating and it's hydrophilic, so it allows for sheeting of water and keeping the dirt off.
Keeping all the leaves and stuff, if the water flows on it, it keeps them cleaner. Oh, so that makes a huge difference. Because mm-hmm. I remember seeing old solar panels years and years ago that were just kind of fuzzy and cloudy and stuff like that. So that's a thing of the past.
If you wanted to, if you had a ground mount, which you can put these on a roof, or you can, ground mounts are probably as popular as roof mounts,
wow.
which personally I love ground mounts, especially in
less climbing on a ladder.
That's true.
Less ladder time.
And yes, if you're going to come down, it's only good to come down 5 feet as opposed to 30.
Yeah.
But if you're out in an area and you have the space, like farms and everything, it's easier to work on.
Right,
you can add panels to it. You can flip them out. You can pressure wash these things. It's not going to hurt them.
Wow.
You take a pressure washer
mm-hmm.
and it won't hurt it at all.
So
mm-hmm.
now, you're Armando, you're doing the zero energy development houses being built, and you're using this kind of solar technology in these houses, right?
That is correct. We're adding the value to the people by adding the solar to the house, and the house becomes now more self-sufficient for the people that are buying it.
So they save money and energy, and in a resale, they get a lot of their money back with the resale because they can sell that advantage.
That's one of our biggest things is the value that you're getting for our product. It's added to the people's pocket, and so adding solar makes sense that our house has that.
So you make a bigger investment up front, but you get it back in spades at the end.
It's
or
a smart
if you ever decide
investment.
To move or sell it. Yeah.
It is.
That's huge.
It is incredible.
Because everybody's always trying to add value to their house, and they always say kitchens and bathrooms. And I'm thinking solar panels may be better than that. Because if you can cut down your power bill by 80% every month, that's huge.
It is great. And again, we are seeing these technologies over and over come up, and we get better. We have AI coming up, and I wouldn't be surprised that we just come up with an even more smarter technology that will support the solar technology that we're having right now.
To be able to regulate it better and know when to use it.
And add more value to you as a consumer.
Wow. That's what you want to see, I guess. Wow. So this is your houses are the houses of the future.
That's what I like to call it.
But you get them today.
Exactly.
That is amazing.
Be a part of that today.
Well, just the one thing, especially with what they're doing, is they're utilizing solar, but they're designing the buildings from the bottom up using efficiencies. It's the mixture of insulations. It's the mixture of right orientation in the topography. It's the mixture of the right lighting. It's with solar, and all of that added up makes the final product to which Armando is going for super efficient. So if a person today with a very efficient system, inefficient system, were to say needing a 12 kilowatt solar system,
right,
his houses would only need possibly like a 6 to 8 kilowatt to do the same amount of power because his houses don't need so
and
much
that's
power.
That's something that you recommend. If you look at somebody's house for solar, you're going to say, I'll put these solar panels on here, but I would recommend you put insulation in this attic first. Throw in a couple feet of insulation first. That'll help save you also, along with the solar, you'd increase your amount of energy savings.
I don't just come into a, well, no, we do, but it's called more of an energy efficiency audit. So I'd come into somebody's house, especially if you call me to come in to, you know, look at the solar and everything. But because I'm an engineer, I'm also going to look in your attic. I'm also going to look at your, I'm going to give you options to help you increase the efficiency of your house, then to save you the maximum amount of money so that the system is financially optimal for you.
Right, okay.
And not just like some sales guy just trying to get as much money out of you possible.
Right.
That's not what we do things.
You're going to go and look at it and tell them you can increase this tremendously by adding insulation or, you know, adding this extra stuff around the doors or seals here and there. And then the solar will give you that much more.
And to the point, like Armando was saying a second ago, they have new systems out like very intelligent AC panels and modules that you can hook up to your systems that you can, when your system is, say you're out of town, you can turn solars on and off, you can shut ACs on and off, you can turn things on and off with your
phone.
So it's AI and intelligent housing is growing by leaps and bounds today, and what it's going to be in 10 years is going to be...
Yeah, well, now they're just
There is no telling.
You guys are doing a great job of incorporating all this technology into the house from the beginning.
That is correct.
Most people have a house more than 10 years old have to add all this stuff separately.
That
is
correct.
With my house, it's older, but I've added smart plugs in a few places, and I got cameras I can control with my phone and things like that.
Retrofitting is always going to be more expensive because the house is never intended to be that efficient in the first place. So by adding all these things in consideration prior to the design, when you go ahead and put the solar, which why we're teaming up, is that we can actually have a maximum
efficiency from the beginning and not have to do an upgrade later.
Correct.
Mm-hmm. That's always the best way to do things. I know when you buy a car, you get the most horsepower you can.
If you get a gun, you get the biggest caliber that you
can. That's right. You get the best one. They say, there's an old saying about it when you buy products. It says, buy once, cry once. You buy the best one to start with, you cry once when you buy it, but then you don't have to replace it every time because you bought a cheap one and now you have to buy another one or upgrade it or whatever.
That is correct.
True. That's 100%
true. There.
Do it right from the beginning.
Right. Well, that's what we're looking at. And I think a lot of people, though, are looking to retrofit solar panels, though. That's something that's probably the biggest part of your business right now, I would think. Or do you deal with a lot of new builders like Armando and his project?
There are, I'd say 30% of my business is new builds, with which we work with building providers to options for the type of building it is. I mean, from residential to commercial. But one big key thing is not every house is good for solar, and not so.
I can see that
it needs to be in an area that is sun and it's positioned right. So
if you have a house that's got a lot of trees around or in the woods, you're not likely to gain near as much of an advantage.
You probably need to cut some of those trees if you're wanting to go that direction. Also, because like I said, it goes on your house in this aesthetic piece. Typically, we don't, and I don't tell people to put it on the front side of the house. So you put it into the back side of the house or the modules. In our design, we do an aesthetics design. So basically, it goes away, and you don't ever notice it.
Yeah, you don't
want
to be able to look at it from the street, I guess, or see it from
the street. And you want to do it. There is a right way, and there is a wrong way. And doing it the right way means that sometimes not every house is available for solar.
Hmm. Yeah. Now, here's something I just thought of, and I remember reading about this, where they actually had solar panel roof shingles.
Mm-hmm.
Is that something you've heard of or been familiar with? I know that was...
Actually, I was on the R&D team a long time ago when we were working with Dow to create those powerhouse shingles. Since then, I don't think that they're selling right now. CertainTeed is on the market.
Oh, yeah.
And they are doing solar shingles. I actually have a couple of in my
So that
office.
Would be something that could help cut the cost if you're replacing the roof. Mm-hmm. Consider adding solar at that time if you're going to use something like that.
So the modules set up, the shingles integrate into, but to be real, right now the production is not where it needs to be to mass serve the market.
Right.
It's very hard to get them right
now. So this is still kind of in a prototype sort of stage.
Modules, you can go all day long, get modules from anywhere. As long as you're with a good design engineer, we can integrate it into your house. You don't see it. That's wonderful. When the production for solar shingles come in, then we can just integrate them into the existing shingles.
Right, and then the aesthetic part wouldn't be as much of a
a
planning phase there. You would just be able to put them on anywhere. You have roof shingles, and you'd be able to...
And like I said, we're certified. We're certified in CertainTeed shingles, but that market is... They're pushing it right now into the California side.
Now, are they as efficient as regular... Full-on solar panels?
They are not as efficient as a full-on solar panel just due to size, but they are very efficient because they can integrate into more areas that sometimes module, which has a profile shift, they can't get into. So it just... The amount of solar you can do on your house based on how much area you can put it into, and shingles are smaller, so you can put more in.
Right, and the aesthetics. You can cover the whole front of your house with them if you wanted to, and nobody would probably know you had them.
Yes, it would. You can still tell the difference between a glass sheen and an asphalt sheen, but they go away after a little bit. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's kind of neat, though. So that's probably more of a future thing than right now.
And the glass that's on panels, as with shingles, is an anti-reflective coating, so it's designed to make sure photon translation into the semiconductor, so it's not reflecting into planes, and you have to worry about, you know, is the sun going to blind... You don't have that issue, so...
You don't have to worry about crashing planes in your house.
No.
Okay, good.
There's many, many solar panels on buildings next to airports.
Okay, yeah, well, that
but you have to
do not
going
to cause them to crash, so we're good.
Right.
We're covered there.
Yes, we don't want to have pilots crashing in houses with solar panels.
Yeah, that's not good.
Well, that's pretty neat, though. So you have there's a variety of ways to put this on your house, obviously.
There is an infinite number of ways to put them on your house and an infinite number of ways to put in systems, from small beginner to large to off-grid to... Two basic types of solar systems that most people like to discuss are the on-grid, which is a micro, and it just hooks into your house, and then there's the off-grid.
And that's just
with batteries
and storage, yeah.
Right.
And that's a lot more expensive.
They're about 30% more expensive than the on-grid, and that's just due to
batteries.
It's mainly due to battery cost.
You could run your house completely with no power running to it from a power company.
100%.
Assuming you had enough light and there, all that stuff during the day and all that.
And good design.
Storage.
And good design from the builder initially, because there are things, for example, mini splits, which is a decentralized perspective of air conditioning units.
Now, from what I understand with the mini splits is they have efficiency ratings that are so high,
97%,
above what you can get in a standard HVAC unit.
And mini split is superior to a central for two reasons. You're heating and cooling what you want. You're not cooling the whole bottom of your house off. If I'm in my office for 8 hours of the day and it's just me and there's no, I'll heat and cool that area. And I've seen, I only spent 20% as opposed to heating the rest of the whole house.
Now, the one complaint I've heard about mini splits is aesthetically they're not as pretty as just having central vents built in the floors and walls and stuff like that, because you have a big unit stuck on the side of your wall there.
True, but you can alcove it. You can design certain ways initially so that your flow rates, and if you have transoms
off, vents over,
yeah,
to make
you,
it look
there's
like,
many things okay. that you can
so there's
do.
Ways to make it look more aesthetic. Because that's supposed to, the house I have now, I actually have zones in my house.
But if
it's
I had to
not
look,
as efficient as a mini split, I'm sure.
If I had to look at a mini split, but I look at it and say, man, instead of paying $500 a month, I just paid $130. It looks pretty good to me.
Again, that green factor comes in.
that green factor.
Yes, I don't care if the thing is purple. It's working.
It's green. My wallet sees it as green.
Exactly.
It looks beautiful. I mean, yeah, every time I look at the bill, it looks so
But good. Because everybody's father was yelling at them, close the door. I'm not cooling the whole neighborhood. What are you looking for in the refrigerator? Yeah. Make a decision before you open the door.
It's either open or closed. That door's got to be shut.
I guess men will be giving up a little bit of the thermostat power. When you have one of Armando's houses, you're not so worried about, you know.
But the kids turning up and down the heat or something like that, or fighting with the wife over how warm it should be or how cool it should be.
Exactly, yeah. Exactly.
That's right. So as much, yeah, actually, Armando's houses will cut down on probably male and female fights with regard to air conditioning.
Happy houses.
Yes.
Make for happy spouses.
That is correct. Most definitely. And we're thinking of incorporating that exact technology with the mini split units and the aesthetic factor where we can hide some of these things and multiple units that can be flexible around the house. It actually makes the house even more efficient if you have multiple
of
them.
Cool what area you, now in a mini split, it does heating also?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Heating and cooling.
Okay, so it's a, is that like a, what, a heat pump sort of idea, or?
No, heat pump's a little bit different. This is, I would say, decentralized air conditioning system, so it's just dedicated to this room or certain areas of rooms. Like, you can have a mini split system in a large, great room, and it'll totally, there's a certain area you would want to put it so you maximize your volume. Now,
so are they limited by the temperature outside, though, with their running heating also? Because I know I've got a heat pump, and below 35, 40 degrees, it gets less efficient, and it doesn't work as well. And it has an emergency heat system where you can actually run elements to heat if it gets beyond that.
I don't know the specificities of it to that degree. I just know that they're much more efficient.
Yeah, because I know standard AC unit, I think, is running like, what, 16 C or something like that?
16.
And
21.
The mini splits are running like 22 to 25 C or, so it's a huge increase in efficiency from a mini split.
Yeah.
You think that's the way of the future? People are all going to go with that eventually?
I love mini splits from the perspective of if something breaks, then I go in another room. My whole house is not down.
Right, right.
Mm-hmm. I got one that I can fix.
And run with that one, yep.
And, for example, on the solar systems is you can put everything on there, but if you use the smart AI systems, you can turn off 1, 2, and 3 and have just one going to maximize your battery intake and outflow of it. So,
so it's a lot more controllability over the old one unit in a house.
Oh, yeah, that has no control. That was just an on-off switch. And, you know,
right,
a 3,000-square-foot house, you're occupying it most, like me. I personally...
Unless you're having a wedding take place at your house, you're probably...
Or a full family.
That's the basic gist, is you're just controlling what the area that you want to use.
Right, that makes a lot of sense. Because that seems to be... I mean, I know in Europe, mini-splits are really popular. I see a lot of those.
And in the Caribbean islands as well.
Right. Oh, yeah, because, I mean, say it's easy to replace parts and things like that. And there, solar is probably a huge factor there.
It is. It actually is.
You got money falling from the sky. Why not take advantage of it?
And because the electrical power grids over there are very damaged and very, it's very expensive. Well, it's very expensive. So, having these units help, these countries a lot.
We'll get there one day and get to that point, because I'd like to see the mini splits, but I just would have a question if a mini split would work in Wisconsin when it's
for our models, we're still thinking of gas, because just in case for the heating element, it is something that is necessary, where you have weather that it's needing it.
Like, hey, we're in Georgia, so here we don't often get temperature that stays consistently below 30 degrees or 35 degrees for too terribly long.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're in a really cold area, I just wonder if the mini splits would have the heating capability.
Well, there's many other ways you can do heating, too. You can use even up north as geothermal, so you can supplant, geothermal in heating floors.
Yeah.
And because the ground underneath stays a certain temperature, and you can utilize that. So you keep the floors, and then you can supplement. So just like solar is not a panacea just for efficiency, heating, you can design many things.
Way around it.
Instead of buying a boat with one engine and running at 100%. You buy it with two engines and both 50. Run them at 50%, but instead of using so much gas, you've actually used 30%.
But then you go faster, too, with two engines.
Exactly, too.
Which every guy out there, yeah.
And it looks cooler.
Yeah, that's right. Two, three, four, five engines.
Yeah. Nowadays, they keep adding, right?
Make it go faster, always. How fast is fast enough? Just one more mile an hour.
Bigger is
light
better.
Speed.
That's right.
And yeah, geothermal is something that we are also looking into for our future homes.
Now, does that matter where you are in the world or the country to where you can use geothermal, or is that something?
No,
that
can be built anywhere.
Done anywhere, really?
Yeah, because you're just digging
bedrock.
Yeah,
as long as you can get down into the ground deep enough.
As long as you can dig under the ground.
Listen, I was looking at, I know Iceland has volcanic eruptions going on, and I was reading a little bit about their stuff, and they apparently have huge geothermal energy usage there because they have so much of it available.
Mm-hmm.
And they get a lot of energy from that, and it's really efficient for them, which I thought was kind of cool. The
makes
whole country uses
cool.
that to the huge
that
advantage.
That is definitely interesting.
I mean, that's like Hawaii. I would think they have, I don't know how much volcanic activity they currently have, but I hear that they still have some, but I wonder if that'd be a way to get extra power like that, if it was consistent enough to bring them power.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, drilling down to magma chambers probably definitely get you some steam.
Yeah,
for sure.
But you'd have to build everything in order to keep from being destroyed by the.
But it's,
level
I mean,
of heat.
It's kind of like what Armando's doing and just taking all the successful practices and the new future dynamics that are coming in, putting them into one so that you're not relying on one answer. It's kind of like the numerous engines.
You're drawing
it's
from
this,
every
it's this,
area.
It's this, and all of them added up to really maxed out savings.
Right,
I mean, like you have no idea. You go into some of these older houses I go into, and I'll say there's somebody up North Georgia that wants an off-grid solar system. Happens all the time. I go into their house, and the first thing I see is a 1950s refrigerator.
That's probably
it's cool.
Five times
it looks cool. The first thing I say is, if you want to reduce some of your power, get rid of that. Go buy a new one, because just the getting rid of that, your return on investment, I think, is probably 3 months to pay off the new fridge.
That's
just
huge.
Because the thing eats so much power.
Yeah, I mean, I did that. I had a pool pump I replaced. I had an old single-speed pump that ran all the time. Replaced it with a multi-speed pump. My power bill dropped $50 a month immediately.
Wow, just with that pump.
One pump, and it was an $800 pump. So it was paid for in less than a year.
And we have actually solar systems that are, they have them dedicated. They can be anyway, but we have, there is pool specific solar systems that can go on pool houses.
I've got a pool house and it's got a roof.
So I've actually installed a couple of them in LJ. And,
that's kind of neat.
Now it's free.
And plus, I guess the heating of the pool, if you could run a heater with that, some sort of heating unit, even if it wasn't a lot, just enough to give it a few degrees is all it takes to get started.
Solar thermal is it's not huge in Georgia so much, Florida especially with pool heating.
Oh, they get
solar
a lot
thermal,
of sun
you
down
put
there.
Two large panels on the roof, it'll take care of your pool.
Wow, that's kind
of
neat.
In your house.
Because I know I got a 400.
That's been around for
years and years.
Yeah.
Oh, I know they sell these little makeshift systems, which is kind of funny because it's a pump and black plastic tubing. And you put the black plastic tubing on the roof and you pump the water through there and it heats it up as it goes through the black.
That's
pump.
It.
Yeah. It's real basic.
It's like a radiator.
Exactly. Because it's black and it sits on the roof in the sun, then, you're able to get that basically free heat. I'm sure it doesn't always look the best having a big coiled up snake on top of your pool house roof or laying out in the yard somewhere trying to heat the pool, but hey, if it's free heat, it makes up for it.
I like snakes.
Yeah. All right, we're going to have to take a quick break and we'll be back right after this.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls of all ages, join me, Roger B., every Tuesday at 1400 hours right here on America's Web Radio for the Locked and Loaded Show. We will talk about guns, weapons, ammo, gun accessories, prepping, and so much more. So be sure to join us every Tuesday at 1400 or 2 p.m. for Locked and Loaded on America's Web Radio.
Veteran-owned, America's Web Radio would like to thank all of our incredible patrons. We wouldn't be able to do this without you. If you are not already a patron, you can help us continue to produce some of the most informative and entertaining shows on the internet by becoming a patron. Patrons of America's Web Radio are the first to receive information about new shows and links to the latest podcast episodes. Join now and receive a free gift while supplies last. For more information and to join our family, please visit www.patreon.com/AmericasWebRadio. If you have questions, contact us at gm@AmericasWebRadio.com. And as always, thank you for listening.
Attention veterans, America's Web Radio has a contest just for you. We are giving away an AR-15 style weapon to a lucky veteran. If you are a veteran or active duty, you can enter for a chance to win by submitting an entry form at americaswebradio.com/giveaway. That's americaswebradio.com/giveaway. Please read the official rules for more information. Good luck, and thank you for listening.
You're listening to America's Web Radio on the AmericasBroadcastNetwork.com. Thank you for listening.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're back. I'm Roger B. This is Locked and Loaded with my special guest, Armando Ortega and Patrick Sargent, both involved in building and making energy-efficient houses, and actually energy-efficient anything, business buildings, anything. And these guys are telling us about solar panels and insulation and mini split systems. This is all stuff. Now I know all you guys are going, where's the prepper talk? Now you gotta consider, if you have a house that's 80% paid for by solar panels and good insulation and things like that, you cut your power bill by 80%, that's gonna make you so much more efficient and give you so much more money to buy guns and ammunition.
And have the space to guard it, for sure, right?
That's right. And you'll be able to maintain your house, yeah, your fortress.
That is correct. That's what we believe in, is creating a fortress. Zero Energy Development is making a house that's it's a product unlike we build houses today.
Right. We talked about that last time. Like, your houses have the best insulation. So not only are they well insulated for heating and cooling, but they're quiet.
They're quiet houses. They're solid houses. They're literally like a fortress, like you're saying. They're going
to
be.
You have a daughter into punk rock in the room next door. You don't have to listen to it all the time.
You can play those drum sets right there.
There you go.
You won't be bothered by it.
So we're giving free drum sets with every new house.
Buy a new house.
With any kids under 10.
You get a free drum set.
And a musical instrument, a trumpet. That's what I grew up with.
There you go.
With,
yeah. Oh, a trumpet, drum set. There you go.
Most definitely.
I cannot guarantee that. I'm just suggesting.
All things are possible.
Don't take my word at that. I do not work for Zero Energy Developments, but we can make a deal.
Yeah, and I think what we were talking about, I just want to bring it up, is that the way that we are building is implementing all these intelligent technologies and smart ways of what's available. And what we think is, you know, is from an engineering standpoint, you know, Patrick can attest to this, when you're designing something, you're considering all factors. You're trying to figure out what is the best way, what should be the best way for the outcome that we're looking for. And so that's what Zero Energy Developments represents. It's a house that is considering more than just the normal standards that we look at. We actually have extended full circle.
Right, you're just not throwing couple solar panels on the roof and calling it a day.
We're not following the pattern of construction that has been going on for the last 40 years. We're expanding on that. In other words, we are using that, but we want to go full circle and actually add to the elements that we know how to do them. We're just not doing them. So that's what it actually represents.
So you're adding the insulation, you're adding the sound quality, the air quality.
Water's quality. A huge element for health. And so we may think of, you know, so again, that's just one of the things.
Whole house water filters?
Full water filtration for the whole house. And we have copper lines. And so, you know, it's actually, that's good for your health, for conductivity. Water is the main element. And so, yeah, our houses cover from air to solar to water to insulation to a complete envelope.
Every
our houses
factor.
Is
We're
sealed.
Building, you're building from the ground up. With all the latest technology that's available.
That is correct.
And instead of just building it the way they did 30 years ago and calling it a day and say, here's your house, it's built the same
as 30
years ago.
Integrated solutions.
Exactly. And we want to make that the standard. I believe that many places in the world are already kind of taking actions on this. The United States, we need to be active on this. So I want to call out everybody that's listening to say, hey, let's support this, because this is what will make a difference in how we're building.
Right. And that's, we need to bring things up to the to speed on
higher
our
standards, higher standards that we can actually benefit from. Not only you, but your legacy, your kids. If you buy a house that has that looks like this, it's not like it's going to change. It's actually you're giving that value and you're passing it on. So that's a great thing to think about.
And you say, and Patrick was saying that the value put into the house with these high efficiency things comes back to you when if you ever were
to sure
resell.
It sure does. It sure does.
So that makes
exciting.
A huge difference. It's funny because you were talking about walking into a house and seeing an old refrigerator.
Mm-hmm.
I knew somebody was a plastic surgeon, and he would tell people they come in to get lipo.
Mm-hmm.
He'd say, "I want you to lose 10 pounds before I even consider this."
Mm-hmm.
So it'd be like you going down, so get rid of the old refrigerator,
right,
and see that light I see under the door. I want to see that gone before you consider adding all this other things to gain efficiency.
It's cool.
Start
and pretty.
With the easy things.
But there's some things in your house that, if you really take a look at it from a practicality perspective, might be something that's costing you more than helping you. So
things
of that nature. But like I said, coming from a design from an integration of all best methodologies is the way to go forward. And that's not only being done in the residential section, but commercial building with buildings and everything else, the LEED programs from
now,
silver,
commercial
gold.
Tend to be on the leading edge of a lot of this technology, would you say?
Right now, most of the power used in the United States, 52% of it comes from big buildings and retail centers and all that. So reducing all of that is a huge impetus for North America, especially the government, to get that down because it goes from everything to coal plants. Mm-hmm. More efficiency, we could reduce those levels. But LEED, like LEED in commercial buildings, they have various gold and silver and platinum levels. It's how well you develop these buildings so that they're super efficient. It's exactly what's going on with...
He's taking this commercial approach and applying it to residential houses. So you can get the best efficiency out of your residential house that these businesses... Well, businesses will look at it on a spreadsheet. They'll say, okay, we can do this, this, and this, and we can save this much over time, and they add it all up, and that's how it works. With houses, I think people tend to think a lot more aesthetically than they do necessarily. Oh, I love the way that wall color looks. Oh, I love the way these vent covers are just beautiful. You know, things like that affect the decision sometimes with houses because a lot of people have traditional ideas when they look at houses.
That is correct. But I think that one of the shifts is the millennials are actually thinking a little different. Mm-hmm. They don't look at products the same exact way as we used to traditionally look at things.
Right, so, things are evolving.
Correct. And because things have evolved, you know, we never thought, our generation at least, that we would have an electric car. Like that, we just never, we thought about it and we'd be like, no, that's never going to happen.
We thought we were going to have flying cars.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, let's not kid anybody.
Yeah, Back to the Future, right? But yeah, that's the thing. It's that millennials think different, and I think they're conscious about what we are building and what we're doing from now on and how we're doing and are we conscious about how everything is being built. So I think that's what, you know, why it changes or it will change. People will look for this product and will support it because it stands for more than just...
They're thinking more environmentally green.
Correct.
While the older generations think more financially green.
Correct. Mm-hmm. This combines both. You know, our objective is to make these houses as affordable as possible so that they're not astronomical and the average American actually get them.
But they got to realize that even if it is more, the savings you're going to get is where it comes down. You got to look into the future and see where this money's coming
from.
That
is correct. Compounding effect is a great
thing. Because I know I did that with my insulation. I looked at it, saw how much it was, and said, you know what? It's going to save me 20-30% of my power bills. Blow this thing full of this. Pack it full. Let's go.
Exactly.
It's the compounding effect, not only for money, because when you spend a dollar today at net present value versus 25 years, it's got that certain level. But if you design things that don't work like an HVA system that's just pumping out 100% all the time, you design it to where it's really only producing like 50%, it's going to last that much longer. So the PM maintenance, the breakdowns, everything,
well, the components
are
going to be
better.
They're going to be way more, they'll be much more longer lasting.
Exactly.
Because you're not running it full out all
stressed.
The time.
Correct.
Right.
Not running it red line.
So there's many things that people are doing now. It's, I would say, like, zero development is getting into the mainstream now, and I think from where it's going to be now in 10 years, everybody's going to think, that's just normal, and that's what we do. 10 years ago, I don't even think they had it for residential. Even we might put in some extra insulation, but
Now
it's actually the real
thing. And a lot of this is required now, too, isn't it, with building code and stuff? Are they requiring
that? Not 100%.
Or is that still
where it needs to be.
Okay.
The one thing people need to understand is building code, and you can ask any county official,
is the minimum
right. what you want to do. And the building officials are coming out, and they're your friends, are looking and say, it's the code. This is the minimum. You can go way above that. But it's, for example, you don't want somebody coming into your house and putting small wire conductors that'll heat up like a light in your wall. You want the right size conductor. You want the right size breakers. You want your service, everything to design so that...
Over-engineered is better to some extent. I mean, you always have a little more leeway there. A friend of mine once said, there's no kill like overkill. And
double
I'll take his word for that.
Double
That's
tap.
Right. Double tap. Rule two in Zombieland.
That's right.
Yeah, when it comes to construction, yeah, for some things, definitely that definitely applies.
Because you don't want to do the minimum. I mean,
that is
like,
correct.
So I guess code is one thing, but if you take the time to talk to your builder and go above that, it's going to pay off in spades later on.
Standardizing that is difficult for a regular construction company because
they have to build a house for $149,000. Also, for someone who can't afford a $300,000
house, correct.
Exactly.
So the code has to be the minimum what they can do.
Exactly. These products, you know, as time goes on and things get more affordable, then everybody can get them, but there is a threshold there where money does play a role.
I mean,
buy this house or not.
A house is somebody's biggest investment in their life, probably. Mm-hmm. More than likely, that's one of the biggest investments they'll ever make. And they have to be conscious of how much they can afford, but what they don't see is the payback in the future. And that's what people have to start looking into.
Mm-hmm.
Not only how much is this house going to cost me in payments every month, but how much will it cost me in energy and efficiency and on down the road when I resell it, will I retain more value there?
That is correct.
These are all the things going to make a difference that people are going to have to look into.
But I think, again, we one of the ways that we want to be in every home is we actually want to create a zero energy shed. And this is a shed that can be highly technological and give you all these benefits. And then you can have anything that you want there. So this is a secret project that I wanted to bring up.
Here.
I hope nobody heard
it. We're hearing secrets here for the first time.
So Zero Energy Shed is part of our project. If anybody wants to know more, they can email me. I'll give the email at the end.
Okay. Yeah, if you guys want to give some information on the companies here, if you have emails or you have websites you want to get into.
Most definitely.
Throw those out
I
there.
I would add that not all builders are alike. Just because you're buying a product or a house built by any builder, not all builders know about insulations. Not all builders know about solar. Not all builders know about everything. I mean, it's pretty much an avant-garde group that's looking to put everything into a place because I'm building a thing and somebody says it's sufficient doesn't really mean it is.
Well,
sometimes.
I mean,
you have to understand.
It's still a business.
Yeah.
They have to make a certain amount of money per house to make it worth their while, and they want to come in at a certain price point, so they have to balance that out, I guess, at some extent.
But I would say, I mean, we kind of alluded to earlier that the cheaper houses means that you don't really get a lot of that. And I would say that maybe less somewhat the technology, but you can also design it into a smaller space such that the people that are on the smaller can actually put some of that into it.
Or realize it's just even extra insulation can save you so much in the future. It's going to cost a little more up front, but to get people to understand that investing in the future part.
You don't got to spend $1 million to have a good built house, is what
no,
I'm saying.
No.
You can spend a lot lower than that as long as you know what you're doing and work with the right builder. You can have everything that you want even for many dollar points.
That's correct. And you were telling them about the insulation. I wanted to bring that up. I think the audience should hear about on the roof, you got 85%, and then you have the rest, 10%, 15% on the walls.
Mm-hmm.
So insulating the house, if you're going to save money, you want to do that on your roof.
100%.
So if you can only afford so much insulation, put it in the roof.
Put it in the roof.
We're specifically talking about the spray foam insulation, which is open cell and closed cell, which are both great products. Spray foam works so well with solar because if I come into a house that has just had the blown in,
Right.
If I switch them to spray foam in the roof, which covers 85% of your efficiencies, I'll drop your, it can drop your bill by about 35%.
Wow.
Where the other ones don't.
Right.
But then you supplant with solar, and they work beautifully with LEDs and AI on the panels. Everything works harmoniously together. It's just that, you know, what you put your dollar into, you know, you want to put it into, like you said, so you don't have to redo it next time.
Right.
Instead of buying this stuff that decreases over time, you put it into the stuff that's just never going to go away.
That makes a huge difference. Always look toward the future rather than looking at the initial cost. I mean, to a certain extent, you want to look at not how much is it going to cost me, how much is it going to save me?
Yeah, be pound smart and penny wise too.
You want to
do both of them, because
we'll start with the easiest. The value that you're going to get is insulation for your first thing you can do.
100%.
And then you could add solar panels to supplement that later on if you want to. And this is on older houses too, because not everybody has a brand new house, or they're not building a brand new house.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of this stuff can be retrofitted or added to older houses and can increase the efficiency tremendously on these.
Spray foam, LEDs, new panels, solar, all that can go on older homes.
Yeah, I know the LEDs.
I can take an older home and I can turn it, I can give you mostly what new houses have, albeit, you know, things in the walls with sound,
right.
You know, spray foam the roof,
spray foam the roof, some solar panels, where as long as they're getting good sun.
But if you get it designed initially and put it all under that,
well, that's ideal.
I was just going to say it's the way forward. It is the way forward. That's where everything's going.
Now, also, if you're doing a major renovation in your house, that'd be something to consider also.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of just checking out the aesthetics of everything and how you want this to look a certain color, look at how you can increase efficiency when you're redoing it, especially when you have to start over, basically.
Mm-hmm.
When you're tearing out a room or adding on to a house, that would be the time to add on some of these new technologies.
That's what, with regard to solar, a lot of the aesthetics are the one of the, sometimes the biggest pushback. And sometimes they aren't the, like I said, we can integrate them into roofs such that they go away. Would I put them on the front of a roof, front of the house? No, because you don't want to see them. But if you're working with a good development team, you can integrate all that in so that it does look good in your
Right.
And mama's happy when she sells the house.
That's the key. I'd be able to have that curb appeal. You know, I mean, that makes a difference when people resell a house.
Oh, yeah.
If you have big solar panels hanging off the front of your house or all over your front yard, people are going to kind of shy away from that, I guess.
Yep.
So it has to be done in a smart way.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how you try and help people learn and see. Get rid of the old refrigerator, add insulation, and then we'll throw some solar panels on the back of the house and you'll be good to go.
And all this adds up to just making your life better, because if you're saving money here, you can afford to go more family trips, you can do this, it's, you know, more comfortable lifestyle. And like with regard to solar prices go up and down so much, especially with like Plant Vogtle coming in. People used to think that the power bills go up and down 5 or 6%. No.
They're going up
10-12%, and they're doubling every 8 to 10 years.
It depends on what state you're in. Until I know here, I want to say the last time I checked, it was running about 16 to 18 cents per kilowatt.
I was
talking to my brother. He's in California. He's paying almost 35 or 40 cents per kilowatt, depending on what time of day it is.
Mm. And the people in Turks and Caicos, 75 cents.
Wow.
Yeah, I'm sure Puerto Rico's up there too.
So solar panels, so depending on where you live, solar panels can save you a ridiculous amount of money.
Oh, we can do like for islands and things, you could put utility sized out there that puts into the power plant and will offset their coal fired with this and the whole island.
Now, do you work overseas much? Or
I've designed many systems overseas.
Okay.
So we do residential, commercial, and designing utility. So I'll do all the utility.
So you cover all of it. So you can
multi-megawatt projects.
Most efficient system for people.
Oh yeah.
Considering all the different factors.
The thing about commercial people don't understand is that this must be harder. Actually, no. The hardest solar system is an off-grid residential, because there's so many things you have to take into effect.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Commercial is just a panel on top of a roof, and you.
Right, and the aesthetics aren't as important to them.
No. It's the biggest design is residential.
Now, you were telling me also before that they have some of the commercial buildings, you're using these transparent solar panels as windows.
There's new products out there
that sounds
I'm
amazing.
Working on. It's actually a product that light shines through it, and there is a organic photovoltaic between the panels. And yes, you can get in various levels of VLT and VLT transmittance of light, so I can make it very dark or very light, like your average window for skyscrapers, about 60% VLT, it lets 40% in. So
So you're not having, it's not
the darker, the more powerful, the less light. But yes, we are making clear.
But this is not something that's available yet at a residential level, probably.
No, no, no. This would be offered on the commercial and utility.
But that's leading edge, state of the art technology.
Oh, there is a lot of technology that's going on. People would, you know, a lot of technology going on. Solar. But mainly where a lot of the technology is going on is batteries.
Right. Now, so, I mean, I know just in my lifetime, we've gone from regular, I guess, chemical batteries, then we went to a NiCad battery, and now
lithium,
nickel metal hydride battery, and then to a, now the lithium batteries. That technology advanced just in the last 15, 20 years. I've seen that huge increases.
And the biggest question I get on solar, especially as it relates to batteries, because they are expensive.
Oh, yeah.
And I tell people initially, we can design a system that gets you pretty much where you want, but you can put in a lower amount of batteries and add in as you want based upon
your
needs.
Okay, so those can be increased.
Oh, yeah.
That's the easiest way to upgrade a system.
Yes.
Okay.
And you can start out at a lower point, have a battery that works, and it'll work, say, your lights and your bathrooms and all that. To the guy that says, literally, I want everything to run, period, for days.
I don't want the power company to ever know I'm here.
We can add more batteries, and yes, that can, you can design a system that will 100% do that, yes.
Now, at some point, I want to know, at what point do I go scrounging junkyards to pull Tesla batteries out to use in my house?
As long as they're the LFPs, which is the
later
modern
ones?
Day, yes, those are good. I try to stay away from anything cobalt-based.
Okay. Because someone was asking me, I go, could I just go grab a go find a wrecked Tesla that's a year old and pull the battery out? I go,
you could. I mean, you can design anything.
I mean, that's got a good bit of power probably left to it, or a good bit of life left to it. I don't know that much about. I mean, I'm spitballing here, so, you know.
At my core, I am a real environmentalist, obviously a little bit.
Yeah, for what you do, especially.
The new, battery cars are great, but the stuff that's coming out with the new technologies with hydrogen cars.
Hydrogen engines.
Is right around the corner. Amazing.
Toyota came up with it.
Mirai.
Yeah.
Prius means Latin is pre. Mirai is the final.
Okay. Neat.
Interesting.
Yes, that's really cool. I did not know that. But, yeah, the hydrogen would be great, but that's, from what I understand, that you have to have everything completely sealed, pressurized to some extent, and it's hard. You wouldn't be able to put hydrogen in your house that easily.
I don't know if it would be hydrogen in your house. The problem right now is in the South California, San Diego area, they have distribution centers for hydrogen cars. The distribution of the hydrogen is the issue because
it's a gas.
Unless you can go up the street and get some hydrogen, your car is going to be in the garage by itself. No,
you're not going to. You can't manufacture. Well, you
that
could,
will
but
grow over time.
Hydrogen
distribution will grow, and that product will grow out, and you'll be putting hydrogen in your car, and your output is a drip of water.
Right, right. Well, because it's just hydrogen and oxygen combined, boom. But that's still running internal combustion, though. So basically, they'll run a car on gaseous fumes. Which is, that's ideally the way gasoline works, but they atomize it. It's not quite as vaporized as it would be if it were in a gaseous form.
I mean, it's just batteries. There's a lot of stuff that goes into them, so there's many great technologies now and been developed.
Do you think the batteries are going to be coming down in price or going up in price because the demand is going to be increasing?
So, as demand goes up, the price would go down as price for technology decrease over years, and that's one of the other things I tell people with regard to solar is if today you want this amount but it costs this and you can't do it, start off at a smaller, and next year as prices come down, supplement your batteries as you do. It's not I have to start with this
mega system.
No, you can start and grow it as your
so batteries is the one way to ease is the easiest way to add onto a system. Because adding solar panels requires a lot more work if you have to try and add on more to that.
If you design a system where it's a ground mount, you can add panels in 15 minutes. If you have to get on their roof, then it's a different subject. You would just want your installer to run the conduit and the wires so that people can just snap them.
Oh, right. So you can plan for future expansion.
Oh, yeah. We can.
But the easiest way to plan for expansion is with the batteries.
I've designed many systems with a 15-kilowatt inverter, but I've used 5 kilowatts worth of panels and just one little battery, because the inverter is the heart of the whole thing. So you can grow the 5-kilowatt system to 18 kilowatts with that 15. But if you had a 5-kilowatt inverter and you wanted a 15, you're gonna have to get rid of that one or add two more to it to get to that level.
So people shopping for solar need to know the inverter is one of the main thing that's going to bottleneck you if you decide to increase your system.
The inverter is the number one bottleneck. If you do the inverter right, you can add batteries, you can add panels at your leisure.
So that's where you need to spend your money if you want an expandable solar system. Okay.
Don't cheap out on the inverter.
Okay.
Never cheap out on the inverter or the size of your conductors.
Get the best inverter you can at the time and know you can add on to it if the inverter can handle it. Okay. Mm-hmm. That's good to know.
Great information.
Because most people are going to be adding solar to a house, and a lot of people are not building new houses now, but if they are, we have zero energy developments to build your house for you with all the latest technology.
What would you say is a medium inverter for the average home?
I will say if it's an off-grid system, I'm still going to go with the Solark 15K, and the reason is I can run 200 amps through it if I would like.
Mm. Wow.
I can. We're a 12K, I can't, and it's only like $500 more to get to 15K.
Yeah.
So 15 is the magic number.
I would, if I was doing a hybrid, if you're doing micros, then you get the best micro per panel, and you can put them up as you go.
Now, micro, that means there's one inverter per panel?
Per panel.
Oh, so that would maybe add with the system, right?
Yes, you could add that on there. And the good thing about that is you can see what the output of every panel is as opposed to just the whole system.
Oh,
so there's a lot of – there's trade-offs on both sides, string versus a micro.
Right.
Yeah.
But I guess one thing would be if you want a bigger inverter, if you're planning on adding on to your house – or changing, and if you're planning on adding another level, adding rooms on, get a bigger inverter to start with.
Get the right size inverter to begin with. If you're going to go with a DC integrated system or an AC system, make sure that that's the, you don't want to, anything that you don't want to have to come back and redo.
Right. Okay, guys, real quick, let's get some information on your companies out there. Armando, you want to start giving us, you have a website you want to give us?
Sure. The website is ZeroEnergyDEV.com. So ZeroEnergyDEV.com. And you can reach me at Armando@ZeroEnergyDev.com.
Now, is there a link on the website? If they get to the website, can they link to you from there?
They should be able to, yeah. They'll have all the information there. And also, I just want to remind them, the shed, Zero Energy Shed, send me an email and I'll send you some special information. Special information for some
next,
for some other people.
The greatest and latest thing is coming up.
Yes.
And Patrick?
So my name is Patrick Sargent. I own Corona Solar. My email is patrick@corona-solar.com. That's a middle dash, not the underscore.
Okay.
Any questions you got? Shoot it to me. I have no
problem
helping anybody.
Now your website is Corona.
It's www.corona-solar.com.
Okay. So that they can reach you through your website, I guess.
And my cell phone is 678-234-8302 if you have a question.
Well, there you go.
Excellent.
And that information, that information will be on your website too, though.
Yeah.
So corona-solar.com and zeroenergydev.com. Okay. All right, guys. Well, it's been a pleasure having you guys on.
Thank you.
Maybe we'll do this again one day. I am Roger B. This is Locked and Loaded, and you've been listening to America's Web Radio.
The views, opinions, and content of the show hosts and their guests appearing on America's Web Radio are their own and do not necessarily reflect those of the station.
You're listening to America's Web Radio on the AmericasBroadcastNetwork.com. Thank you for listening.